faithfulness, Eric Taylor. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The only thing I'm going to tell you about the announcements, because it's different, is that Tuesday night we're having prayer right here together, and it's going to be our Thanksgiving prayer before the Lord. Now, if you didn't get excited about Jesus today and what he's done, and you don't want to praise him some more, I don't know what to do with you. But you can come and you can be grateful for all he's done, and you can join us in a wonderful prayer. 7 o'clock right here. Okay? Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Prophetic training on Wednesday, it'll resume on December 4th, because we're all going to be cooking on the night before Thanksgiving, and we have a lot to be thankful for. Okay, now I have a couple things to talk to you about. Do you see these wonderful boxes here? Now, how many of you ever heard of Billy Graham? Okay. How many ever heard of Franklin Graham, his son? Okay. So when you are grateful for what God has done for you, there is this thing that happens inside of you, and you come up with ideas of how to give. You just have to be a giver, because he gave you so much, and you recognize the generosity of Jesus, and then you have to make a way for other people. Amen? And so that's what he came up with. And I forget what they're called. What is it? Operation Shoebox Outreach. Now, if that isn't obvious. Okay. So Operation Shoebox Outreach. So someone called the church and said, I have a heart to fill up those boxes. And so I'm going to give you the money for them, and you guys can buy them. And then I did mine online. I heard about it, and I go, I got to give to children. I got to give to children all over the world. I want to. And then our super kids put all the stuff on the inside, so they got to be active in producing it and reproducing it. So they got to see what God could do, and that they got involved in it, because they are going all out for Jesus Christ. And so when you put action to what God's heart is, you're going to receive the blessing back also. I believe they're all getting a great Christmas because of them being involved. How many say amen to that? Look at that face. He knows it too. Hallelujah. And so these are being sent out. I went online, I did it, and I paid extra so I can know what child is going to receive it, and they can be my pen pal. How awesome is that? Did we do that with these, do you know? Did we find out who they are? We're not sure. Okay. So anyway, I think that the opportunity has now passed us. Is that true? Tomorrow is the last day. So, okay, you can go on to Operation Shoebox on Franklin Graham's website, and you can be a part of this. And if you, I think it's $25 to fill a box. It's $8 if you want to know where it went. How many of you know that we have to stay in the big picture? And if you sow into the big picture, you're going to get a big reward. So we cannot stay. I love all the people in this church. I want everybody's child to have a good Christmas. I mean, we work at that too. But I got to tell you, we can't just stay in our own little boxes. We got to get outside. We got to do. We got to go all out. We got to start reaching out, because we're sowing seeds beyond ourselves. We're sowing seeds into the world. We're sowing seeds into those that have needs. And God will meet all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so, and how many of you enjoy the decorations here? Isn't it beautiful? See, you didn't really think that last week was the end of it, did you? Me and Beth and Farrell did it during the weekend. All we did was decorate the tree, and it didn't even have its little thing around it, and it was pretty pathetic, actually. But that's because we couldn't do it all alone. And so a whole team came in. If you were part of that team, please stand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I am so grateful for those who engage, and then we all get to partake of it and enjoy this season just a little bit more, because we are celebrating the birth and the resurrection of our King. Amen? Okay, one more thing. Okay, so you know how I teach you that wherever we are, we can release an atmosphere. We release an atmosphere. And so how many of you were here last week? Okay, so when we had Doc Stutzman here, he talked to you about God's will for increase, didn't he? Okay, how many of you got something from that? She said, I am a money magnet. And yes, you are. How many of you know you're a money magnet? And that it's God's will for you to prosper. He said so in his word. We've got to be in agreement with his word. Amen? But what happens is, like, the same way that we operate under a prophetic anointing, because I'm a prophet, we operated last week under the anointing that he brought. And so he brought faith for increase. So here's what I know. Someone said, well, it taught me to seek more increase. Amen? Because we can, it is available to us, but if we don't go after it, we might miss out. Okay? And it gave me a new vision for next year, they said. Hallelujah. Because if we don't plan for increase, we're not going to get the increase. But if you plan and you give God the glory and you seek after him, increase is going to follow you. Remember, one of our prophetic words was release to increase. If you've been around here long enough, you'll know that. If you haven't been around here long enough, you go on the website and you listen to the prophetic word the year it was released to increase. But how many of you know that every year we get a different purpose of going after God, a prophetic honing in on what he's saying for the year, but all of our prophetic words are still in action. We pray over each one. It is the word of the Lord. It doesn't stop. So it's still increasing. It's still releasing. It's still bringing us increase. But sometimes we have to reactivate. Amen? So I believe he reactivated. So when he came, he reactivated and he released something into the atmosphere for you to believe on a higher level. And so his anointing is for that. And so bring that. He bought us this. And I'll tell you why he bought us this. He said, I mean, it's good to collect the offering. And I know a lot of you do it online. So listen, I don't get hung up about this stuff because I know you're giving. And I know a lot of you give online, and that's okay. But if you notice me and Charlie, and I don't know who else, but come up here, Charlie, and show them what you do during offering time. See, she puts her phone over the offering bucket because that's where she gave her offering, and that's where she released it. Amen? And I do that because I do it online, okay? Or you can do it by text, however you do it. Okay, but the difference is this, and this is what we're going to do today. I don't know if we're going to do this every week because you never know what I'm going to do because I'm always trying to follow the Holy Ghost. But here's what he said that went like that inside of me. He said, when you give and you give the people an opportunity to present themselves to the Lord as well as their money. Do you hear what I said? Because, you know, we're talking about taking action, not just knowing something, but being actively involved with God. And so when we are taking an action, even if it's just walking to the front, offering your offering to him, but you're not just offering. You know that your offering represents a piece of your life? I mean, did you work for that money? I don't know any zillionaires right now that, and even if they are, they had to work at something in order to be one. And so when you walk forward to the Lord and you offer yourself, yes, Danielle, sorry, can we have offering music? I don't know what that is, but I don't think we've ever done this. But that's okay. We'll figure it out. Okay, so what we're going to do is right now we're going to pray. So, Father God, I thank you for the release to increase. And I thank you that you brought Dr. Sussman here on purpose. And Lord, although many of us know and are freely acquainted and thoroughly resolved that there is seed, there is time, and there is harvest, right now, in Jesus' name, I activate the harvest. And Father, as we present our offering before you, then Lord, I thank you that we're not just presenting our money. We are presenting our life. We are presenting the very source of who you are. We are declaring our victory. And so, Lord, as we give today, Lord, please let this be an offering, Lord, that is pleasing in your sight. And let us receive the whole value of what you have promised us. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you would, just come and release it, but release it with belief. Release it believing for your increase. Take action and bring your body as a living sacrifice before him. Can you do that? Okay. I don't know. It's offering music. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I bless it. I bless it, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the offering, Lord. Thank you, my Jesus. Yes. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that all we have to offer back is our whole life. But Lord, I thank you that we choose to do that. And Lord, you saw. You saw your people. You saw them coming to offer their life. And Lord, I know that you're going to honor that. So we give you praise for being the good God that you are and staying faithful to your word. We thank you. We can always trust you. We can always trust you. Amen. Everybody say amen. That's good stuff. You know, as soon as she starts playing, then I just want to be on the floor, but okay. We do have to get some word. Okay, I want to talk to you. How many were here 2 weeks ago when I started talking about the day of Pentecost? Were you here? So some of you, not some of you. Okay, so on the day of Pentecost, we saw a transfer occur. And the transfer happened because Jesus prepared his disciples by talking to them for 40 days about the kingdom of God. Now, on the day of Pentecost, if you don't know or if you do know, he said, go wait until the Holy Spirit comes with power. And so the disciples went into the upper room and they prayed until the Holy Ghost showed up. And when the Holy Ghost showed up, he showed up with breath. He showed up with wind. He's like, and he wasn't just like, you know, it was like, I don't know, a hurricane. Okay? And he showed up with fire and he showed up with power. And when he showed up with power, what happened, what actually transpired, was that the kingdom of God was released inside of them. Say it was released inside of them. And so we saw an immediate change in how they responded to God. We saw an immediate change of how they honored God. We saw an immediate change of the revelation that they were receiving. We saw an immediate change of how effective they were in ministering, because when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke in the tongues of everyone that was there that was gathering together for the tent of meeting. And so there they were, all there, and they said, how could this be? We hear them speaking about the good things of the Lord in our own language. And so 3,000 souls got saved that day. Say, that's power. That's power. Amen. And so something had changed more than them just getting tongues. We have reduced our ideas of having this experience to having the experience of speaking in other tongues, which we do in this church. And I will never say it's not necessary. In fact, I am like a huge proponent of it, because I know what the Bible says about it. It says that it builds yourself up in their most holy faith. It tells you that when you pray in the Spirit, Satan can't understand you. Hallelujah. I don't want him understanding what I'm praying. I want God receiving what I'm praying. If it was only those two things, it's enough. But it empowers you. And so it empowers you with the kingdom. Say, I'm empowered with the kingdom of God. Okay, so that should bring us to where we are. So I want to talk to you about the kingdom of God and how it works. And so the kingdom of God is the opposite of the world's way of doing things. Someone say amen. Okay, so the kingdom is a whole different world that we as Christians and believers, you know, those who truly follow him are to identify with than the world's way, and usually all the time that we spend focusing on ourselves. I mean, if we're going to be honest. Okay, so I think we should be honest, right? Okay, so the kingdom of God all throughout the word, and especially in the New Testament, is also referred to as the kingdom of heaven. This is the spiritual realm where Jesus and God and the Holy Ghost reign. The Godhead, you can't separate them, you know. They are one, and yet they have separate policies. They do separate things. They bring separate ideas to us of who they are. They present all of who they are in different ways. But it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? Okay, and so his people are to acknowledge, God wants his people to acknowledge him as king. As king. The kingdom of God is because he's God. He's the king. He rules and reigns. Okay, so do we agree with that? Okay, so now, what is this thing that we refer to as his body, his church, his bride? Okay, so we have to understand that it isn't a building. It isn't a program. Can you imagine? It's not a program. Okay, it's not a program. And it's not a list of rules. You don't have to just come to church so you can check that little box and feel better about yourself. Oh, no. The church is made and compromised of a bunch of on fire people who acknowledge the king and acknowledge that he's not only here, but that he's here. Amen? Okay, so Christians call themselves Christians many times, but they don't act upon what is available to them. Is that true? Okay, so we have to actively go after God and go after his heart and to understand who he's made us to be. Now, the Greek word for church is ecclesia or ecclesia, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And there's two different ways to spell it. So, okay, let's not get too technical. Okay, but here's what it means. Aren't you glad that we're going to find out what it means? It means the called out ones. Oh, really? Oh, the called out ones. You think maybe God's trying to tell us something? Do you think he is? He is trying to get us to engage in being called out to do what he's called us out to do. Amen? Okay, so he's trying to get us to understand we are a people that are called out by God to accomplish the impossible on purpose for his purposes. Did you get that? Okay. So we're called out to stand out. Say, I'm called out to stand out. Oh, yeah. You're not supposed to just, you know, disappear into a crowd. You're a standout. God called you to stand out. And he also called you to stand up. He wants some boldness in his people. He said he wants us to do something that we've never done before. He wants us to activate faith in a new level that we haven't experienced yet. Because he's on the move. And if he's on the move, we got to move with him. Amen? 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate. Be separate. Be separate. Says the Lord. That means that we can't just run around looking, acting, talking, being. Like, if you're with somebody and you know them in your life for 2 years and they don't know that you stand for Jesus Christ, what about a year? Is that okay? Heck no. What about a month? What about when they come near you, they ought to feel the presence of God and desire what you have? How about that? How about we are separated? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We are filled with something that we can't help but give it out. And we can't but help but speak it out. And we can't but help but walk it out. Hallelujah. I'm making myself happy. Okay. And that doesn't mean that we go out and try to tell people to stay away from the world. You know, stay away from the world. They're bad. They're bad. They're bad. They're bad. No, you go out into the world and you announce the good news. We sang it this morning. We are grateful for the gospel that is inside of us and the power of it. You see, we are powerful people. Say, I'm a powerful person. Yeah. So Jesus went about and he taught his disciples all the time. Now, he didn't just talk about what they needed to do. He was demonstrating it to them all along. He was always showing them what the kingdom looked like. He was always talking about the kingdom. If you go back and we're going to keep looking at the things Jesus said about the kingdom, because we have to get this mentality, because where's the kingdom now? Okay, that was poor response. Where's the kingdom now? All right, if you're saved and you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you are carriers of the kingdom. Say, I'm a carrier of the kingdom of God. Amen. Okay. God's kingdom, there is true justice and there is true righteousness. Did you hear that? In God's kingdom, there is truth. And that truth brings the right justice system. And it brings righteousness out from the inside of us. Hallelujah. Okay, so the kingdom of God is in operation where God's purposes are made apparent through his disciples. That would be a good one. There you go. Take a shot. Okay. In his kingdom, mercy and kindness rule over hatred and selfishness. How many of you know the world operates in selfishness? But how many of you know that we operate in kingdom, and kingdom makes you selfless? And that's something we have to practice. How many of you know that you will be challenged on that? You always just want to do everything for everybody else. You don't ever want anything for yourself, right? No. Okay, but kingdom is a selfless kingdom. It is something that happens on the inside of you, and you begin to think differently, and you begin to see people differently. It turns you into a servant. Jesus said, if you want to go up, you got to go down. It doesn't make any sense to the outward man, because we're like, okay, we're going to climb the ladder. What ladder are you climbing, and with who? Jesus said, go with me and find out what you're really made of. And he said, if you want to go up, it's simple. Go down. If you want to have success, then you have to be the person who is not affected by success. Well, that was good. And so if you think you have something to do with it, if you're all about, okay, you're going to make it happen, well, you can't make it happen correctly. Now, people in the world have made things happen, haven't they? And you know, at the end of making all their stuff happen, that many of them commit suicide? You know why? Because there's no fulfillment in you doing it. You're not happy if you do it, because at the end of your rainbow that you made, then you find emptiness. You don't find fulfillment. You don't find the peace of God. You don't find the joy in what you've done. You just got a bunch of stuff, and the stuff doesn't even matter anymore. Stuff is not fulfilling. Look at your neighbor and say, stuff will not fulfill you. No. See, the kingdom of God brings joy. And the reason why it brings joy is because we're no longer thinking about what we can do for us. We're thinking about what we can do for the King. We're thinking about the kingdom of God. We're thinking about the cross. We are thanking him for the cross. We are living for the reality of what the cross brought to us. There is nothing that he hasn't already done for us. And when we live with that knowledge on the inside, we can't help but love him. We can't help but serve him. We can't help but tell others about him, because our God is good and he's so wonderful. We'll never be silent. Never, never, never. Okay. So, when the kingdom is understood by the church, the called out separate ones, then the fullness of the kingdom will not be thought of anymore as an escape plan to get out of this world. I mean, you know, that was, you know, Satan was a little clever there. You know, in the sweet by and by, as soon as we get out of here, we'll have some fun. You know, I'll serve Jesus, but it ain't going to be fun here. We'll serve, I'm laying down my life. This is just going to be horrible, though. I mean, I'm just going to die every day. I'm not going to have any fun. He's taking all my fun away. You know, what? That's a wrong mindset. And so when we, the church, understand that the kingdom of God is here and released on the inside of us, oh man, we are the happiest people that there are, because we have something to shout about. We have something to be excited about. We have a knowledge that other people need. We got joy, 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 joy down in our hearts, because we know we have relationship with him, and our God has given us insight to know what we're really made of and what we can accomplish. And we can accomplish nothing that is fulfilling without him. Amen? Yeah, not without him. Okay. Whew. Okay. So the announcement of God's eternal purposes moving now in the present world and being able to carry it into the future is who we are. Woo! So, here we are in this present world. Supposed to be a light. How can you be a light if you're always snuffing yourself out? Right? I love serving God. I don't even know what to do with myself. If I feel like I'm that much away from God, then I'm miserable. That's how you should be. I pray misery upon you, even now. Should you get that far away from God, I release that to you now. Okay? You love your pastor, don't you? Okay. Okay, so we are called into the world to help others realize what they've been missing. I mean, this is the life. This is the life. There is no other life that is enjoyable or fulfilling outside of Jesus Christ. There just isn't. You can make stuff up, but hey, it even says in the Bible, sin is pleasing for a moment, but hey, it's not worth it. And it subsides. I hate sin. I didn't even really like it. Even when I backslid, I didn't really enjoy it. I think because I knew God too much beforehand. And I was like, you know what? I'm in it. I'm in this sinful action. And I'm not even enjoying it. This stinks. I'm getting back out. You know, I mean, the quicker you get to that revelation, the better off you're going to be. Okay. So the power of the gospel is for the entire world. And the whole world has to hear it. Bible says they have to hear it and they have to experience it. And guess who God called to make them experience it? Yes, us. Say me. Yeah, it's on you now. Good. Okay, so the gospel of the kingdom is a statement about the fact that God is king. So now, the very message of the kingdom is about God's royal power directed by his self-giving love. I look at those statements because I know they can change you. The very message of the kingdom is about God's royal power directed by his self-giving love. Okay, so we have to look at the kingdom of God a little bit differently, and we have to understand that when he sent Jesus, he had begun the Reformation. He was going to reinstitute kingdom order. And so on the cross, Jesus put the kingdom back in order. When Jesus left, he gave the opportunity to the disciples to have the kingdom within them, but they had to go and wait and receive it. Okay, in that order, go, wait, receive. Then walk it out. But once you receive it, you have all the power of heaven to back you. You don't have to wonder if God's going to show up. He already did show up. You don't have to wonder. I was so happy today when I was getting ready, and then I got the song list, and then I'm like, I know they didn't read my sermon, but they got it. They got it. Because when we are operating in the same spirit and what God is trying to say to the earth right now, and we have hearing ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, we are in tune to what the Spirit wants us to do. And so there is a collective response. And when people get excited about God, then other people get excited about God. So I'm so glad you got excited about God today. Now we just have to keep it. We are not coming in here next week and fa-la-la-la-la. We're not. We are going to come in here bold and aggressive and pulling down heaven and saying, I'm releasing the kingdom. And when we leave these doors today, we're going to go out there knowing that we're carriers of something that is greater than what we are. We are carriers of the kingdom of God. We have something to release, and it'll change lives. Okay. All right. Everywhere Jesus went, he was putting forth a demonstration of what the kingdom looked like. And he made sure that we knew not only what we were saved from, but what we were saved for. Right? So we are saved from shame to bring glory to his name. Do you know why you got healed from shame, set free from shame? So that you could be the glory to his name on earth. That's why, kingdom. Okay, from slavery to bring freedom to others. That's what he did. He took us from slavery to bring forth freedom. From sin to follow, be able to follow in Christ's footsteps and do what he did. And to be saved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. Amen? Okay. So, the kingdom comes with more than just a prayer. It might start with a prayer. But, I mean, we can even pray, you know, the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, that prayer. But if we don't act on it, all we did was verbalize it. See, noise doesn't make you active in the Spirit. It doesn't bring the kingdom. You know, we could shout. Have you ever been to a football game? Okay, these people have noise. Okay, they get excited about their teams. You would think that they are on the team. You know, I mean, like, and if their team loses, oh, my goodness. Okay? You are on God's team. So he needs people who get excited about being on his team. He wants you to cheer about him wherever you are. He wants you to be excited about him wherever you are. He wants you to be a mouthpiece about it. You know, you ever sit around, you know, any kind of, if they love sports, they're going to talk to you about sports. You can't stop them talking about sports. I mean, to those that don't like sports, you just like, your eyes are rolling back in your head, and you're just nodding your head. You don't know a thing about what they're talking about. And you really, you're just like, wow, could we get relevant here? Okay, but to them, this is huge, right? I mean, you can't stop them. They love it. I mean, I'm from St. Louis. If we say anything about the St. Louis Cardinals, we get stoned. I mean, you can't. You got to cheer for the Cardinals. I mean, I never saw so many fans. They go to the baseball game, baseball game, baseball game, baseball game. Forget the football team. They don't even care. No. They don't care about the hockey team. I mean, you just get a few people to show up because they like those things, but they don't know. But you say baseball in St. Louis? Oh, man, you ride buses down there to that stadium. You take all your time and all your money, and you eat everything they offer you because we're going to support our team. And then we do the wave. And then we come to church, and we go, hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. I'm so excited about him. I'm like, really? You're so excited about him? Notify your face. Maybe you need to notify your arms. Maybe you need to notify your feet. Maybe you need to get engaged with him. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you need to open your mouth and say something that makes sense to somebody. Hallelujah. Okay. Woo! Okay. We have to engage because God's kingdom reacts to selflessness. That means when you talk about God, when you feel like it, and you talk about God when you don't feel like it. And you talk about his goodness when you don't feel like he's being too good to you. Because he's faithful to his word and he's really good. You just haven't caught up yet. But he's gone before you and he's made a way for the goodness to come to you. Amen? And so it's selflessness, and it advances when we show compassion and we take supernatural actions. Okay, so, I mean, I was really excited about Ryan's, all the testimonies today. But when are we going to have those testimonies that we were out there and we laid hands on somebody and they recovered completely? Amen? And so, if the kingdom of God is living on the inside of us, then can we release the kingdom of God out of us to bring the remedy for whatever they need? Okay, good. We're getting somewhere then. Okay. Operating in the kingdom manifests itself with power, blessings, and advantages. But today I'm going to talk about power because I like power, don't you? I like the power of God. Okay, so the kingdom of God was released through Jesus, demonstrated on the earth, showing us the will of the Father. Everything he did was the will of the Father on purpose so that we could see how the kingdom operates. So if he is taking orders from the king, then he was about ready to become king. Do you see? And so he was presenting himself before the king. He was submitting himself under the king. He was demonstrating the power of the king, and he was doing it as a man. He came as a man, did he not? Okay. And so why? Because he wanted us to see what he did so that we would know what we are to do. He wanted us to get this mindset changed that we're not waiting on Jesus to show up, but Jesus already showed up. Okay, so here's how, in the midst of whatever Jesus is demonstrating, the Pharisees came to him. And, you know, they're trying to trip Jesus up. They always came to just try to trip him up because they're religious folks. And they like to hold on to their old-time religion. They wanted to hold on to their tradition. They didn't want to move forward acknowledging him for who he was. But so they ask him this, Luke 17:20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and he said, the kingdom doesn't come by observation. You know, I don't think Jesus had an attitude, but I kind of do. Because that's what he's saying to them. He's like, you're just looking at it. You're just observing it. But it's not going to come to you when you're just observing it. He said, this is what observation here means. It's different than demonstration. Observation is different than demonstration. Okay, observation means inspection. It means ocular evidence. It means what you see with your natural eyes. Okay? And so, in other words, you can't partake of and be involved with the kingdom of God if you're just inspecting something or looking at it. Okay? So, you know, they went to the temple and they saw people that were spiritual and they wanted people to see them as spiritual. But they weren't doing anything to engage differently. And people still do that today. They come into a church and they say, okay, let me just see. Well, with which eyes? Come in, see all you want to. By spirit eyes. But if you come in here to observe what we do, you come in here observation. I'm going to see if the kingdom of God is at work here. I'm going to see if the power is here. I'm going to see what the pastor talks about. I'm going to see how good that worship team is. I'm going to see. You're observers. The kingdom doesn't come through observation. The kingdom has to be engaged with so it becomes a demonstration. And it's available to every Christian. The kingdom is available to every Christian, but we like to stay in observation. You know why? Because it might cost you letting go of yourself. It might cost letting go of the past. It might cost your mindset being changed. And boy, we like our traditions. And we like to do things the way we like to do things. And we're not going to let somebody steal from us our ability to demonstrate it the way we like it and that we feel comfortable to. And that's why if you don't want to raise your hands, you should. And if you're not used to change, then you need to, I don't know, change your clothes. I mean, do something different. I mean, hook up with the Nigerians, get their clothes and wear it for a day. I mean, look how cute they are. I don't know. I mean, you don't wear a hat. Don't wear a hat. Do something different just to say, I'm doing something different on purpose because I'm going to realign myself with something that has value. And if we get used to change, we don't hold on so tight to the way we've always done things. Because the way we've always done things ain't working for you. Amen? Okay. Okay, so people think they can listen to a sermon. You know, I'll just watch online. Well, I'm glad you can watch online if you're sick. But if you ain't sick, you better be in the house of the Lord. Because there's something different when they come together. Amen? Okay, so, I mean, you can't just bypass what God said to do. They gather together, okay? Okay, and power comes. Okay, so, I mean, I was at home doing a lot of stuff that we did today in worship all by myself. But I got to tell you, when you guys started joining me, there's something different in the atmosphere. Amen. And so we need one another. And we need one another to come together to bring the fullness of his power in a place to set everybody free. Amen. Okay. And so Jesus explains that, you know, you can't just, you know, go in the synagogue and be looking for the kingdom of God. Is it here yet? Is it, you think the kingdom of God, what's it look like when it comes? No, no. He says, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. He's like, you came to look for the kingdom. You guys don't even get out of your head. If you just get out of your head, then the things are about ready to change. And the kingdom of God is going to operate from the inside. It's not going to operate out here. You want a kingdom. You want to look at the kingdom of God. You want some kind of thing to happen. You know, they wanted God to send some kind of thing to save them from the Romans. And, you know, Jesus never cared about, he never got involved in politics. He never got involved with what the Romans are doing or what the Romans weren't doing. He didn't care. You know why? He was about his Father's business. He was like, I'm going to listen to you. What are you saying, God? That's what I'm doing. Father, tell me what to do. Tell me what to say. Tell me where to go. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you, and you're going to take care of all of this. And he didn't even care about the persecution, and neither did his disciples once the kingdom was in operation. I mean, before the kingdom came inside of Peter, he hid. But after the kingdom of God was released within him, he goes, I'm here to tell you something. And I'm here to tell you that this is that Joel talked about. And right now I'm going to tell you about what you did. You crucified the King of Kings, but he's here to save you. And so 3,000 people responded. You know why? Now kingdom was in operation and the king was glorified. Hallelujah. Okay. When it's in operation through us as Holy Spirit believers, freedom not only comes to you, freedom moves through you. Okay? And so, the power of the Holy Spirit, John 7:38-39. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, say out of my heart. Okay, will flow rivers of living water. And then it says he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But that means that when Jesus was glorified and the Holy Spirit was given, that we have a river of life flowing out of us. It's a river. It's not a little puddle. It's not a little stream. It's not a little, it's a river. It's flowing. It's moving. It's causing things to happen. Hallelujah. When we receive the Holy Spirit, he brings a river. So I won't torment you by singing this song to you, because, you know, if I did, you'd know why I don't sing on the stage. Okay. But we used to sing this all the time. We could do a trio for them. Okay. There is a river of life flowing out of me. Do you remember this song, anybody? It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors and it sets the captives free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Then we sang, spring up, oh well, weapon my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me your life abundantly. We need to revive that. Woo! I mean, when you start going around your house and you get up in the morning and you go, let your kingdom come in me today. Let it be demonstrated today. And start singing, oh, well, that is already inside of me. You just start springing up. Just spring up and cause a river to be everywhere I go. And take over those people. Run them down with the Holy Ghost. Go over their sin. Set them free. Bring them into a new knowledge of who you are. Oh, my God, we got something to be happy about. So, I don't know. I like that song. Okay. To revive the truth of the song, Christians need to live it. I mean, that song was inspired by the Holy Ghost. It lines up with everything I just read you out of the Word. That the Holy Spirit wrote that song. That's why when we start saying hallelujah to your name, we get in the river. We get in the river of glorifying him. We get in the knowledge of the power of the cross. That's why things start moving. That's why things start happening. That's why anything can happen when God is in the room, because he inhabits the praises of his people. Amen? Okay, so we have to realize the same spirit. I get so excited about this. You can't tell, I'm sure. I can't even settle down today. Okay, so if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit. Where is he? Dwelling in us. Oh, my goodness. We could have a Holy Ghost dance right there. Okay. He is inside of us. It's the same resurrection power. That means you came here today. You didn't feel like praising God. You got something wrong with your body. You can't jump. You can't shout. You can't do anything except for feel miserable. He said, you have resurrection power. Resurrection power. Living on the inside of you. You just have to get used to releasing it. And if you release it for your own self will receive it. And if you release it to other people, they'll receive it too. We got a river of life that's supposed to flow out of us. Amen? So why are we containing it? Why are we holding on to it? Or maybe we don't recognize it. I don't know. Maybe we don't know he's in there. But he's in there. Did you invite Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior? If he's in there, he didn't stay alone. Hallelujah. Okay. So if we think about that. Resurrection power came from heaven, and it annihilated Satan's favorite thing, death. Wow. So death couldn't hold him. He couldn't hold him. And guess what? He can't hold you either. The grip is broken. Woo! Up to the point that Jesus went down there and go, give me the keys. I'll just take them right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to take them from you. Just plop them right here. Could you imagine Satan having to do that? He's like, you know. But he couldn't help it. Death, hell, and the grave had to give up. They had to give up because the power of our Lord went down there to win it for us. We don't operate in the world system anymore. We operate in kingdom system. We operate under the king. There is nothing we can't partake of because he already won it. He already took it back. There is power in the cross. Hallelujah. Woo. All right. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. That is his job description. I mean, he's bad. He's altogether bad. You want to hate something? Hate him. You can hate him with all your hatred because he deserves to be hated and he's never going to change. We already know that. There's a special place reserved for him in hell. For all the grief he has caused all the people and for all the stuff he tried to trip God's people up on and keep people going to hell instead of heaven. Yeah, I hate Satan and I can hate him with all my hatred and I can't hate anything else. Just him, and that's fine. But Jesus came for something different. Jesus came to take not only death away from him, but to bring life. I mean, living life, like happy life, joyful life, fulfilled life, that we could walk in it and have an abundant life. What does an abundant life look like to you? I mean, what kind of success does that bring? I mean, who are we kidding? Listen, if all you do is moan and groan about what you don't have, you just need to change. And you need to talk about what you do have. I have access to the kingdom of God. In fact, it's operating in me. And I will have all that God has provided for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, I see that the Amen Corner has now enlarged itself. And so I am excited about that. Woo! when Jesus came, he destroyed death, but until that time, Satan was doing a pretty good job of stealing, wasn't he? He was doing a pretty good job of killing. He had it down. He had it down pat, and these people were so gullible. They were just not like us, because we're not gullible. No, because we know who we are in Christ Jesus every day. But if he would have known, if he would have known that by nailing Jesus to the cross, that he was going to reproduce a whole bunch just like him, that there was power going to come out of all the Christians, that they were going to identify with who he is and the resurrection power that was inside of them, and that they're going to go around making Satan's life miserable and taking back everything he stole. That's what our job is. Jesus said, I came to defeat the works of the enemy. Ah, hallelujah. So I'm coming to defeat the works of the enemy every place I go. I mean, I can't stand sin. I hate it. I don't hate people. I am surprised at sin. Okay, I have to say, I am very naive, as people who know me know. When I see sin in full form, I'm like, are you kidding me? Do they actually think this is going to do any good for them? Deception is a real thing, you know. People are deceived into thinking that sin is fulfilling. And it's so not fulfilling. And so we have to be those that represent God in a all-out way so that they understand, oh, yeah, I'm happy. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because of the cross. I sing because he fulfilled everything I have need of, and I'm excited about who he is in my life and through my life, and you can know him too. Okay. Oh, boy. Okay, let me see. You know what happens when I start doing this, don't you? It's good stuff. How many of you in a hurry? Because, oh, God, according to the world, I should be out in 5 minutes. But good thing we operate in kingdom. All right, we'll see how far we get. I'm not going to keep you too long. Okay, because I'll preach the rest of it next week, and then you'll come back. You proved it. You proved you'd come back for the second. Now you done did it. Okay. So life is accessed when we realize this. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. You see, when Jesus came and released the kingdom, he gave us the freedom that kingdom brings. Next verse. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you put to death But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Okay, so this is not talking about a natural death. You understand? Okay, this is talking about what goes on inside of you spiritually. Jesus opened the cell of the prison door that was holding us captive to the system of death. We were operating under the system of death, under the spirit of death. Before salvation. But now he has released us to live according to his will, according to his ways, and we live according to the Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Amen? Amen. Woo. So we're no longer to live like we're oppressed from the enemy, to be held in the spirit of darkness. Darkness can come after you. I mean, darkness can try to take a hold of you again. But if you're living in the knowledge of who he made you to be, darkness' little grip can't even grab a hold of you. It'll try, and you just slip right through it. You know, you are slippery folk when the Holy Ghost oil is on you. He can't even grab a hold of you. You slip right through his fingers. Amen. So when Jesus came, he flipped the switch. It's time for us to flip the switch. You know how electricity electricity works, right? Well, we don't really understand it. But we know this. If I go over there and I flip that switch, something's happening to the lights. If I come in a dark room and I approach the switch and I turn it on, light is going to dispel the darkness. Jesus came and he flipped the switch. And when he did, we flipped from the world of darkness into the world of his glorious light. Amen? It's time for us to start flipping switches. Amen. Okay. Okay. So he turned the kingdom of darkness that had been ruling since the fall of man into the operating kingdom of God that we can now operate with. How amazing is that? Okay, so let me say it this way. Now I have to read because I have to say it exactly as I wrote. After acknowledging what Jesus has done and accepting him as Lord and Savior of our life, the Spirit of God comes and dwells within us, and we no longer have to operate under the spirit of death that came with our sin nature, because now we are operating at a higher knowledge of a higher power, and that power is now at work within us. Say, the power is working inside of me. Amen. Every spirit believer has access to the very power of God because of the cross, because of his sacrifice, and because of our obedience. Amen. It's been locked up inside the body of Christ. That's why this message has to get out. That's why we have to absorb it. That's why we have to think about it. That's why we have to change our minds. We are living in a kingdom that is bought by God's Son so that we have access to all that the kingdom offers. In heaven, is there sickness? Is there disease? Is there poverty? Is there want? And so we are to live our lives knowing that our King has taken all of this stuff back and released to us a brand new way of living, an abundant life, a life that we can be excited about waking up to every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he said, Romans 8:14, as many who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So we have to act like sons and daughters of the Most High God. I mean, we just have to do it. Well, how do you do that? Well, step out in faith. I mean, first you have to be convinced of this. I mean, I can preach this, but you've got to get it. You got to take it in. You got to say the kingdom of God is in me. I believe it. And maybe you don't believe it when you first say it. But if you start acting like it, and you start saying it, and you start reading the word, and you start looking at what Jesus did and what Jesus said, pretty soon you'll start believing it because it's true. The kingdom of God is in operation through us. That's what he always counted on. That's why they could go through the book of Acts. That's why all the disciples all of a sudden became apostles. That's why they raised up all these other people. That's why those people became powerful too. Because you can't stop the kingdom from power. Because there is power in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And we get to be a part of it. Glory to his name. Amen. All right, I'm going to end with this, I think. Okay. Okay. Now, when the kingdom of God is released through his church demonstrating the will of the Father, we will operate with things that are out of this world. People are always saying, well, you know, where are the healings and the miracle? You know, when are they going to manifest? I don't know when you're going to let them out. When you're going to let them out. Because if the kingdom is in you, everything he brought is in you. Everything he brought is already there. We've got to start operating by faith to release it. So when we lay hands on somebody to receive their healing, boom. Kingdom of God has come unto you. You know, okay, Matthew 12:28 says, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, if I cast out demons by what? The Spirit of God because he's in here. So if I cast them out, the kingdom of God has come unto you. You see, kingdom just arrived. Kingdom just showed up. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and cast out demons, it was because he knew there were demons that needed to be cast out. And he knew he was going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit that would bring the kingdom that would be able to get them out. And so he said, go out there and be like me. And so when the power of God was released, then the kingdom came into that situation and demons don't have a choice. Do you think they can stay? We don't argue with demons. We just tell them to go. Because Jesus' power is higher than a demon's power. Amen. Okay. So, I'll prove it to you. Luke 9, 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power. Power. And authority over all devils to cure diseases. Hallelujah. And then he sent them to preach what? The kingdom of God. What did he do? He said, look, this is what I'm going to do. Right now, I'm going to impart to you the power necessary, the authority necessary, and now I'm going to send you out to preach the kingdom of God. Because now you're operating in kingdom, and now you're going to be able to heal the sick. You see? So, you know, before Jesus was resurrected, he would lay hands on people and or the Spirit would come and it would empower people to do whatever was needed to be done at the time. Oh, but once Jesus rose from the dead and he sent the Spirit of God inside of us, there is no more, okay, we have to wait for him to lay hands on us. He laid hands on you on the cross in the resurrection. He laid down his life so you could live. He laid down what you needed so you could operate in the kingdom and demonstrate it. Hallelujah. Okay. Holy Spirit is able to destroy every demon and release the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so ask yourself, which kingdom are you operating with? Personal question. Personal evaluation. None of my business. Don't care. Well, I do care. I want you to operate in the kingdom of God. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to understand his power. But I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to give you opportunity, though. See, we're not supposed to be the people who look down on people who never knew this. We're not supposed to look at sin and judge people for their sin. My goodness, that means we'd have to judge our children when they undid the paper roll in the bathroom or stole from the cookie jar or lied to you. What are you going to do? Bat your kid across the room and disown them because they sinned? Because it's sin, you know. We are not those that are the judge makers. God's judgment is pure and holy and up to him. What we do is operate in what he's given to us by choice. But today, we have to say, which kingdom am I operating in? Maybe you're operating in the world's kingdom. I don't know if I can do this. And God's kingdom. Maybe you got one foot on either side. But you know what happens if you stand like that long enough? You'll fall. You can't take that position without falling. And so you have to decide which kingdom you're going to be of. You have to make a decision. He tries to make this world look attractive to you, but when you are accepting Jesus, when he is really your Lord, you are saying, I am coming under the rule of the King. That means you don't get to pick and choose anymore. Well, you can. But if you pick and choose of your own selfish desires and worldly desires, you're right back where you started. It is when you choose to say, I am willingly and abandonedly coming under your rule. What would you like me to do, sir, God? You know, we call him Father, we call him Daddy, but he is to be reverenced. God is our king. He still sits on the throne. He doesn't need us to tell him what to do. He needs us to acknowledge his greatness and his love and to become. Do you know Jesus prayed for us that we become one? Do you know that? Do you think his prayer got answered? I mean, Jesus' prayer gets answered when somebody responds to what is being offered. But we can be one with him when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we ask him to come and rule in our life and bring his kingdom into dominion inside of us, and then we can release it. Amen? And so that's what we're going to do today. We have to flip the switch, people. This is the time for the church to just see the darkness and not be affected by it. You know, you get around a bunch of Christians and they start talking about how dark the world is. You know, well, I can't believe this. And did you see this on the news? And did they, you know. And okay, you can acknowledge the darkness, but you can't be a part of the darkness. You can't add to it by your gossip. You can't be like overwhelmed by it as though we don't have a remedy. You have to rise above the darkness and go, light, come. We have to be the ones that release truth so people can stop operating in the dark. Flip the switch. But today we have to might flip our own switch. Because I don't know. I mean, if we don't recognize the power of the cross, if we don't acknowledge the price he paid, now think about it. We talk about this like this is easy. Like, okay, I have Jesus, and it's all good. But what price did Jesus pay for you to have the kingdom on the inside of you? I mean, he sacrificed every bit of himself. Every bit. He was so marred up by the beating. He looked like hamburger meat. He said his visage was marred. That means he couldn't even tell who he was anymore. Jesus. You couldn't tell who he was anymore. His blood spilled out of every part of his being because he was healing you by his blood. He was bringing redemption through his blood. He was being the sacrifice to reunite us with the Father. And we take it as though it's lightly beheld. No, we have to behold him. We have to reverence him. We have to honor him so much for the sacrifice that he gave, that giving anything he wants back to him is nothing but a pleasure to us, because nothing he could ask of us could be like what he gave for us. And so we have to settle what we are going to do. Are we going to observe being a Christian? Or are we going to demonstrate being a Christian? What are we going to do? Are we going to engage in the power that he gave us, even the power to set us free? From all the things we think we can't get set free of, that's a lie. You can get set free of everything Satan has had you bound to if you acknowledge the power of the cross. His kingdom is here. It's not coming, it came. So everybody bow your heads. So right now, if there's anybody who said, I just don't know. I couldn't say that every part of my life is been giving over totally to living for the kingdom of God. I see parts of my life that are halfway in and halfway out, and I know I got to flip that switch today. And there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to honor your sacrifice, Jesus. by giving you all of me. Is there anybody here that would acknowledge that and say, that's what I need to do today? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, so church, help them to say this. I recognize the sacrifice of Jesus. And I'm inviting you, Jesus, into my life. And I am believing that you are making me an active participant in the kingdom right now. Let me be a powerful example of my heart's choice that I choose right now. I will operate in the power that you died to let me partake of. Today is a new day. It's my day. And I acknowledge all of what you bought for me. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that and you mean it, there will be a change in your life. I mean it. There will be a change in your life because the power of darkness just had to flee. Because the power of his marvelous light just came to shine out through you. And so Satan lost his hold. He lost the ability to hold you and the things that you have felt like you are in bondage to. So you need to be free to be free. So if you prayed that prayer and you want help from us, we are here to help you. We are a church that cares. We are a church that has all kinds of materials to give you. So if you see Jeff standing back there, he's kind of hard to miss. He will give you what you have need of to grow in God. We have classes. We have materials that we'd be glad to give you. We are a family that loves you. And so we welcome you to this family to grow and to live and to be a part of the kingdom. Amen? All right. I love you. But who do you love the most? And who loves you the most? And who loves them the most? All right, you better go be the kingdom for somebody.